This morning is a very special day as we'll be ordaining Lance Lenore as a deacon at First Baptist Church. Since coming to this church, Lance and his family have become so involved in what God is doing through First Baptist. We were talking the other day. We came to the church, Lance and Kimberly and the girls joined right after that. And not only did they join, but all of a sudden they were showing up at everything that was going on. Not long after that, Sarah came to join them here. And it's been a special time as this family has become so vital to what we are as a church. This past Tuesday, the deacon spent a very special evening with Lance. You heard a little bit of what happened through Mike a few moments ago. But let me just tell you, this last Tuesday, Lance shared his testimony with us. It may be the only time I've sat in that kind of occasion, Lance, and watched grown men with tears in their eyes as you were sharing some of the story of what the Lord has done in your life. Because he talked about how he knew Jesus and how he lost Jesus and how he found Jesus again and what Jesus means in his life. It was very special. You've already heard the results of that evening, that at the end of that, our deacons affirmed that we want this man to be a part of what God is doing through deacon leadership at First Baptist Church. And in a few moments, I'm going to be inviting Lance to come up to the kneeling bench before you. Our deacons are going to come and lay their hands on him and set him apart as deacon. I've asked Kimberly to come and to be beside him so that she can show that she is vitally involved in what God is doing. It's going to be a very special time. I can promise you this, Lance. You think you know this, but you don't know it yet. It's going to be the most humbling experience of your life as godly men who are leaders within this fellowship place their blessing on your life. But before they come, I want to share a message about what it means to be a deacon. In fact, what I want to talk about this morning is the very most important thing that God has planned for you as a deacon. Because one thing is true, and it is this. It is always important to keep the main thing the main thing. And one of the things you're going to learn as a deacon is there are a lot of things you're going to do that are important things, but they're not the main thing. For instance, deacons are called on to do some very practical things. You'll be joining other deacons at greeting folks at the door as they come into Sunday school on Sundays. You're going to be asked to be aware of visitors, make sure they're welcome. You're going to have to be asked to help take up the offering, serve the Lord's Supper. You're going to have your turn in turning off the lights and locking up the doors after people leave on Sundays. There's a lot of things you have to do that are just the practical things that help our church to be everything it ought to be. And sometimes deacons are called on to do administrative things, to meet regularly with other active deacons, to consider the direction and the ministry of our church, to be actively involved through the committees and ministries of First Baptist Church. There's a lot of things you do that are just administrative things. They help everything to work smoothly around here. And there's some that are very spiritual responsibilities. Looking after and praying for the families that you will be assigned to be responsible for. Praying for and undergirding the ministry of the staff. Setting an example for the church in service and dependence and attendance on Sundays. Those things are all very important, but none of those are the most important thing. The most important thing is found in the passage we read together just a few moments ago. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says the most important thing for a deacon is to be in right relationships. Nothing else matters more than being in right relationships as a deacon leader at First Baptist Church. In fact, the Bible identifies four primary relationships that have to be all they're supposed to be if you're going to be an effective deacon for Christ. So let me share those four things with us all this morning as we prepare for this time of ordination. The first thing the Bible says is this: a deacon is to be in a right relationship with the Lord. Verse 8 says, deacons must be reverent. Must be reverent. Reverent, that is a very powerful biblical word. Now, it's not a very powerful word in the world we live in today. Most of the time, if you ask somebody, so what does it mean to be reverent? They're probably going to say something like this. If you're being reverent, that means be very quiet, be very still, don't disturb anybody else. Let's just hold everything down because we're all busy being reverent around here. But that is not what Paul was talking about at all. The biblical concept of reverence simply means this: in a right standing with God. When the Bible says deacons must be reverent, what it is saying is, before anything else, deacons must be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ in a deep, personal, lasting way. Reverence is not about what you do. It's all about who you are. A reverent person is somebody who is in a right relationship with God. So what does that mean to be in a right relationship? Well, let me give you three things real quickly. Three important qualities. It means you are surrendered to His Lordship. Who comes first? He comes first. Who gives direction? He gives direction. There'll be times in deacons' meetings when we may be dealing with serious issues, and we're going to begin to talk about, so what should we do? And sometimes there may be different ideas or different opinions or different ways of coming at things, but eventually it always comes down to this: what does the Lord want us to do? And that's the attitude I have found in meeting with our deacons here at First Baptist, that that is a primary question. What does the Lord want us to do? Why? Because as people, we are called to be surrendered to His Lordship. And as a deacon, that's one of God's calls on your life. But not only surrendered, but also obedient to His direction. Not only do we want to know what the Lord wants us to do, we are to do what the Lord wants us to do. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to do what to do. For years and years, I used to go hospital visiting at the hospital over in Tuscaloosa. And one thing happened almost every time I visited that hospital. You know what would happen? Sooner or later, the strobe lights would start flashing and this bell would start ringing. Ding, 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 ding. You know what it meant? It meant fire. That's exactly right. But it happened so frequently and so often that if you ask the people who were working or visiting in that building, so what do these lights and what does this dinging bell mean? You know what they would say? With their actions, they would say it doesn't mean anything. Just ignore it. It will stop after a while. There's a difference between knowing what to do and doing what you're supposed to do. And one of the things it means to be a reverent person, it means to say, Lord, if you will show me, I will be obedient. I will do what you've called me to do. And then finally, it means being submitted to His will. I want you to direct the path of my heart. I want you to be the one who points me in the directions you want me to go. When the Bible is calling you to reverence, it is saying that before you are ready to lead, you must know how to follow. How to follow Jesus. And Lance, as you take on the mantle of deacon, I challenge you to keep your relationship with the Lord Jesus as a primary thing in your life, more important than anything else. Because when you're right with God, everything else falls into place. When you're not right with God, nothing can work out for the long run. Have a right relationship with Christ. Second thing that Timothy tells us is simply this: a deacon is to be in a right relationship with himself. Timothy continues, not double-tongued, nor given to much wine, nor greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. You put all of those qualities together, and you can describe them with a single term, and that term is character. The Bible is commanding a deacon to live with godly character. Let everything you do and everywhere you go and every word you say, let it all be judged by, am I a person with spiritual integrity and character? Am I doing what pleases God? Am I rejecting what God does not want me to do? The Bible calls deacons to live out their faith according to a high standard. Have a right relationship with yourself. No, I am living my life with spiritual character. Never settle for a compromised commitment. Aim for a life that is everything it ought to be. Always remember this as you begin this journey of deacon service. In His Word, God only sets aside two leadership roles within his church: ministers and deacons. Those are the only two leadership roles that God describes. Now, there are a lot of other ways that people do leadership in church. There are a lot of things going on that are essential to the life of this church. But there are only two that have a biblical mandate. That means that as you begin this journey of deacon service, you are entering into one of those things that God described as being important and vital and necessary within the church. If that scares you a little bit, it ought to. Scares me every Sunday before I stand up here. Because you recognize it is up to me to live my life in such a way that when I stand before this church body, when they watch me as I live my life, I have to be able to stand up with integrity and with character, and to be a trustworthy servant of Christ that they can trust. It is a calling for a lifetime. It really all comes down to this: live your life in such a way that when you look in the mirror, you see the reflection of a man that you respect as a deacon of our church. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because everybody else doesn't know the truth. You live in such a way that when you look at you, you know you're in a right relationship as a man of character. The third thing Scripture says is this. It says a deacon is to be in a right relationship with his family. Timothy continues and says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. What is the Bible really saying? What the Bible is saying is simply this: make sure that you begin by being a godly leader for your family. Make sure that that faith that is in you is a faith that is contagious for those who live in your home. I love the way John Maxwell expresses it. He said this one time. He said, even if I reach hundreds for Christ, even if I preach to multitudes, even if I have a national reputation for spiritual leadership, my life has been a failure unless the people who know me best are the ones who love and respect me the most. That's powerful stuff. The important thing is that those who see me within the walls of my home when nobody else in the world is looking are also those who respect the faith that they see and the consistency that they see and the character that they see. Lance, your home is your primary mission field. And you are to show the love and grace and wisdom of Jesus to Kimberly and to Sarah Elizabeth and to Mary Ashford. It's your responsibility to encourage them, to empower them in their own relationships with Jesus. The Bible is saying that the home of a faithful deacon should nurture a godly wife as well. And Kimberly, that's your job as Lance's wife. It's no mistake that we'll ask you in a moment to stand here beside him, to be here with him, because your job is just as important as you undergird that deacon ministry, as you live out your own service in faith. And you know that. But that is so essential. And it is so essential for him to know, whatever God calls us to do, she's going to be there for me. Make sure your home is a healthy place filled with healthy believers in Jesus Christ. And then finally, the Bible says this: and a deacon is to be in a right relationship with the people around him. Here's how the passage concludes. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. A good standing and great boldness. In other words, a Christ-like reputation. It is vital that deacons be respected by the people who see them day by day and week by week in every situation. I would go so far as to say the reputation of its deacons determines how healthy a church can be. as we go through this year and as we say, let me tell you about my church, one of the things that we need to be able to say is my church has men who truly love the Lord, who are truly leaders, who are truly compassionate, who are truly involved. And those are our deacons. I guess what I would say is this. To understand that being a deacon is not a status you achieve. It is an identity and a responsibility that you expect. Folks look to their deacons to lead the way. In a lot of ways, Lance, when you kneel at this prayer bench in a moment, what you're really doing is you're kneeling over and volunteering for somebody to paint a target on your back that says, aim at me, watch me, hold me accountable, because that's the job that you're taking on. What kind of people are you called to be in a right relationship with? Well, I would say, number one, you're to be in a right relationship with the members of this particular church, this body of Christ that the Lord has called you to be a part of. And you're going to be part of a deacon family ministry team, and the families you're assigned to will be your particular ministry. You're also going to have influence among the membership as a whole as they watch you step out as a deacon, as they see where you are and what you are saying is important. One of the things that I have recognized over the years as a pastor is it is the deacons who basically signal to the church, this really matters. By their involvement, by their presence, by their commitment, they are saying to the church, this really matters. And one of the things I have also seen over the years is there are those times when, as a pastor or as staff, we have said, here's something we think counts. Here's something we think really matters. Here it is. We need to do it together. And if we lead out and we look backwards and there are no deacons there, it won't work. It never works. It's so important that you say to this church, this is important. What we are doing here is God's work. You're called to be in a right relationship with the members of your church, but you're also called to be in a right relationship with all the people around you. People you work with, people who are your neighbors, people you come into contact with every day, those people who find out this is the role you have at your church. This is the identity that's been given to you. And from that point forward, they say, okay, let me see how you live as a deacon of your church. And it's your job as a deacon to carry a consistent testimony for Christ in every situation. Always remember this. There will always be people around you who are searching for a reason, not just to question your authenticity, but who are looking for a reason to reject Christ. And you've got to be careful in your testimony. Let your life and your words draw other people to Jesus. So, Lance Lenore, you're called to be a deacon of First Baptist Church, to commit yourself to be in a right relationship with God, with yourself, with your family, with the people around you. Now, if you're sure you still want to get into this, if you're sure you're ready to commit yourself to receive this calling from God and from your church, then I'm going to encourage you to come and kneel at the prayer bench. And Kimberly, I'm going to invite you to come beside him and lay your hand on his shoulder as a sign of your support. So y'all come on. And I'm going to invite all of the ordained men present, deacons, ministers in our church or in another church, if you would like to participate in the laying on of hands, we'll line up on this aisle and we'll come by. And then we'll go back to our seats down this aisle. So let me invite our ordained men to come and to participate in the laying on of hands.